Now, Colette O'Hagan, who's sitting in front of me, is set to become the first woman in Ireland and the UK to run 1,000 marathons. That's 26.2 miles by 1,000. 1,000 marathons. I'm going to say it again. So at present, Colette is on 996 between now and the Dublin Marathon at the end of October. She has to do three more. And then the Dublin City Marathon this year will be Colette's 1,000th. Good afternoon, Colette.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
I'm lost for words.
Oh, really? It's not like you to be lost for words. I really got you there.
Well, I'm just doing the maths on it. Like, that's 26,000 miles before you add in training. And you only started running late in life, didn't
you?
Yeah,
I didn't start till I was in my 40s when the kids were a little bit older and stuff like that. And I didn't like it at all. That was my story. I always tell everybody that I hated it. I thought, how on earth can anyone do this stuff? But I had a good husband and he kept persisting and taking me out, and we were running up and down the Shore Road in Dundalk for quite a while, and the little dog beside us and stuff like that. And eventually I got the hang of it. I said, and some fella in the car wound down the window and says, "Oh, Larry, she's beating you now." And he says, "That's it, Colette, you're on your own now.
Off you go. So do you mind me telling them what age you're?
Oh, not at all. My saying is, I don't deny my age, I defy it.
I love that.
Do you like that?
Yeah, it's two fingers to age.
Yes, exactly.
So every marathon you do is...
Don't let that old woman in. No, just don't let her in.
But brilliant. So every marathon you do is an act of defiance.
Exactly.
I love that.
You just say, no, I'm not giving in. No, it's not, nothing to do with my age. I'm going to keep going. And I always say start. And I don't come here to start. I come here to finish.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get back to Larry then. So in your 40s, how many children do you have?
Well, that's a long story with us. Like, we have five children and we also are
We'll talk about that later.
But five kids. And so when they were a little bit older and a bit on their feet kind of stuff, like the 6-7 years of age and stuff like that, I took to running then
because I had a little bit more free.
Oh, I got very seriously ill, all right. And it was sort of a malabsorption kind of an illness. I don't know what it was. I just wasn't absorbing my food.
Right.
And everything was kind of going the wrong way, like, and I was losing a lot of weight. And then one doctor in particular just copped on to what it was, and he sorted me out. And I honestly could say that's a long time ago. I actually haven't been really sick since.
Right. So Larry goes to you, you're recuperating.
I am recovering from illness, and he says, come on out for a run. And right. I'm going,
and was
what?
Larry a big runner?
He wasn't a runner at all. No, he could hardly run a bath, never mind run. Right. But anyway, he was very fit because he was a squash player. He was a good quality, you know, he's a high standard of squash. So he would take the odd wee trot out and, you know, up and down the Shore Road for just for his fitness level, not mad. So that's how I started, was the running up to the Shore Road and down the Shore Road and that kind of stuff.
And he thought, your loving husband, that this would help in your recovery.
He did indeed. Now, I don't know what way he was thinking, but maybe he was trying to kill me, but it didn't work.
So as you said, at the beginning, you were having none of it.
Oh, I was having none of it. No, I just said, no, this is not for me. I do not know how anyone does. I was so unfit. And I had been playing badminton previous to that. I took up badminton when I was in my 20s. And I was reasonably fit then until I got sick then. And then kind of things that went a wee bit haywire and stuff like that. But I really wasn't fit.
Now, it's a big leap, right, from running up and down the Shore Road with the dog and Larry of an evening to heading towards your 1,000th marathon. So what happened?
Well, then what happened was I decided then at that time, because I was in the early 90s was when I did my first marathon in Dublin. So it would have been probably 89. I joined the group of women called the Joan Brady Joggers in Dundalk.
Right.
And they were training for the women's mini marathon.
So you're in your 40s. Early 40s.
Just in my early 40s. So Joan and them, we were all training for the women's mini marathon, which was a great and still is a great event.
Yes.
And this is where I got my running journey from. So I owe the mini marathon a lot. So Joan would take us all out and we'd all train. And then I did the mini marathon that year and I finished that finish line and I just stood around and I looked and I said, there's no finish line. This is not the finish line, because I knew I had more in me. So I decided I would do the Dublin City Marathon. Now talk about going a big step further.
Yes.
So at that time, you didn't have any gadgets or gizmos or any of those things or gels or things like that. So I decided, how do I train for it? Because I had no idea, I hadn't a clue. So the Irish Runner was a great magazine at the time.
Frank Greely, editor.
They had a great programme in it every year to train for the Dublin City. And they still have it.
Mm.
So that's what I trained on, that programme. I put it up on the back door, the kitchen back door, and I was looking at that every weekend, go for the long run, make the dinner, off I go, and do my long run and come back and have my dinner then. That's what the way I did it. And I stood on that start line, Ray, and I hadn't a bloody clue what I was doing there. But I got there and I settled in after a few miles. And then I came in and it was just in under the 4 hours.
Right,
which to
good.
Me, like I hadn't
very
a clue.
Very respectable,
it, yeah. Yeah, it kind of was and it kind of wasn't because they were all very fast then. They were all freaking doing sub-3s and I always thought I was so slow.
Back then it was a different...
It was different.
Because there was, I'd say there was around 6 or 7,000 if there was
That's all.
And it was mainly runners.
It was mainly runners and very few women.
Yes, very few
very,
women.
Very, very few women. It was 10% women.
Right.
And now look at it, isn't it fantastic?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Oh, it really has come on in leaps and bounds and I'm delighted. I was delighted when I seen all these... big Martins coming along and Ireland at the time only had Dublin and Belfast.
Okay.
That's all.
Now that's one marathon in 1 year, right?
Yes.
So how does it go from that to, like, you could describe it as an obsession, could you?
Well, I actually think if you don't have a little bit of an obsession in it, you wouldn't stick it.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
There has to be a bit of madness here somewhere.
Right.
So anyway, yeah.
Well, I
know what you mean though. There is a bit of an obsession and probably a little bit of an addiction.
Yes.
In a sense. Like you do get a wee bit addicted to them. But what happened was then I kind of did Dublin, Belfast for a couple of years. And then my husband says to me, well, again, I'm going to blame him again. He says, why don't you go abroad and run? And I said, but look, I'm not a good runner. You have to be really good to go abroad.
Yeah.
No. He says, go pick somewhere. And I picked Boston, of all places. So Boston was my first one abroad. And I did that with Sports Travel International. That was a great guy.
Yeah.
Martin Joyce had that set up. And they look after everything.
They get you the entry
actually,
and all
that's
that.
That's where I really, really fell in love with the marathon.
What was it about the Boston one?
I think it's the way the Americans treat it. It's like you're an elite runner.
Uh-huh.
Like you're, oh my God, you're doing the marathon and all that kind of stuff. And I loved it so much that I wanted to do more. So I started going over then to the UK a lot because there was a lot more Martins there. And I met up with the UK 100 Martin Club. And Ray, I got contaminated totally. Totally.
So,
that's where it all
right.
started. They told me about all these Martins you can run in a year.
And they were saying you could do 100.
Yeah.
And you were aiming towards 100. And here you are now aiming towards 1,000.
And then, that's exactly what happened.
Now, we'll go back to the running, but I just want to go to the fostering.
Okay.
Because how many children have yourself and Larry fostered
over
the years?
Well, we've had at least 80 kids coming in and out our door. I call it the open door or the revolving door because you'd have one child in and another one would go out and another would be in and that kind of thing for years that went on. And do you know, Ray, I get very emotional when I talk about the kids because I really, really love those kids. And I dedicate myself and so did my husband. We did our best for every child that came in our door. And we have wonderful stories. We could write a book on all the stories we have from the children.
Why did yourself and Larry decide to foster?
I was that kind of a nurturing kind of a person because I grew up in a big family. There was 18 of us.
18?
And we grew up on a farm and a shop on the border between Louth and Armagh.
Yeah.
And my mother was a very busy woman. She was a very hard woman, which is very busy woman with all the kids, but she was also a very hard working woman because she was on the farm, she was in trying to nurse the babies and stuff like that. And I loved nurturing I loved looking after the babies. And you know what? It kind of got me out of the work for doing the farm
where
work.
Where were
you
in the 18?
I was probably midway.
Right.
Yeah. And
many of the 18 are still alive, Colette?
Oh, God, there's a lot of them gone. And the funny thing is, there was 10 girls and there's only 3 of us left.
Ah, right.
And funny enough, it's nearly all the girls that died and none of the lads.
Right.
So I don't know now where we went wrong there.
Yeah, because that goes against the average.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So I love looking after the babies in the house at the time. It was just my idea. And it also got me out of working in the farm.
Yes.
Because I got off peeling, digging the
potatoes. So cleaning
nappies all that's
preferable to digging spuds. Yeah,
so I think I got my nurturing neighbour kind of feeling there with the kids, like looking after my brothers and sisters.
You don't do anything by halves, do you? 1,000 Martins, 80 foster children.
Yeah, no, no.
Is there anything else we should know about?
You can't be doing that on their behalves. No, no, no. I've got a thing about numbers, don't I?
You do, yeah. People will recognise you because you and it, we're up at the top of what they call Heartbreak Hill there it used to be Bank Holiday Monday, now it's Sunday, which is brilliant. And you come up and the hair always matches the running gear. Yes.
They'll know me for the pink.
The pink. You're the pink lady.
I'm the pink lady. Yeah, that's what they call me, the pink lady, because I love pink. And I always feel when I'm wearing pink, there's something calming about pink.
Yeah.
So I'm a calm kind of a person. I don't get really rattled too easily, you know. But when I do, like, my kids used to say to me, "Mom, I've never," and this is God's truth, "I've never heard you raise your voice at ever." And my kids will tell you that. And Jacqueline, my daughter, said, "Mom, you never raised your voice. I never heard you shouting at us." And I said, "No." And she goes, "But you had a look." And she said, "Well, we got that look. We knew we were in trouble. That's all you had to do. You had to just look at us."
When you go on your long runs, do you scream?
I usually sing.
Do you?
Yeah.
And do you use it for you time? You know, do you use it to...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's my go-to time. Oh, yes. My God. The amount of problems I've solved out running is unreal. I might have trouble with some of the kids I might have a problem in my head. And how do I solve this? Out on the road, solve it, no problem.
Right.
It was great. And I came back a better person because I had my me time and I could calm.
Yes.
So it done me the world of good, just going out running, calm my mind down, thinking of how I'm going to solve this problem. Maybe it's some troublesome child or something, you know yourself. And
it always looks better after a run.
You never regret going for a run.
I was going to say,
you do regret not going for a run.
Now, 996. So you've Kilkenny, Monaghan. Then Galway Bay is 999.
999 with the fabulous Ray O'Connor.
Right. And then October 27th, is it this year?
October 27th is the 1,000.
1,000. And the big news, and we said it already, Colin Farrell is running the marathon as well.
I know. God, will I get to meet him, I wonder.
I might know somebody who knows somebody.
No, thank you, Ray. Thank you, Ray.
I'd say if Colin knew...
All the women would be jealous if I get to meet Colin.
I'd say if Colin Farrell knew that the Pink Lady was doing her 1,000 marathon, he would be searching you out as opposed to the opposite way around.
Yeah, but you know what? I met your man, one of my favourite actors a few weeks ago, Brendan Gleeson.
Ah, what a man.
Because I'm running for the hospice.
Yes,
he's the patron of the hospice. And I was telling him like that. Colin was running and all that. And I said, "Would you think I'd get to see Colin?" "Oh," he says, "you never know, I might be able to handle
that." Well, he knows better than I do.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's because they've been in a number of movies together, haven't they?
He was very good. He was really nice, Brendan.
Lovely man.
Very down to earth.
I hear you have Colette O'Hagan on your show today, a special lady with a heart of gold, a hero and a friend. She has written her story for Dublin Marathon issue, The Irish Runner.
That's right. My story is in The Irish.
Colette also has a gold medal for the World Championship 24-hour event for the most distance covered for her age. Tell them how many miles you covered in 24 hours because we have to go very quickly.
98 miles in 24 hours. That was when I was in my 60s. Because that was my age category.
Colette O'Hagan, we'll be cheering you on.
Thank you so much, Ray. You're
more than amazing. Thank you so much.
And I hope to see you now up on the hill.
If
Colin's ahead of me, tell him.
Yes, the pink lady's coming up behind you.
Coming behind you.
Cormac's on drive time.